like to eat. I remember walking to the candy store as a little kid, you know, and it was about a quarter mile away, so round trip it was about a half an hour, and about a full mile. And it was a half a mile, took about a half an hour. Okay, good. And I'd buy all this penny candy. How many of you like candy? Raise your hand. Yeah, okay. I'd buy this penny candy, and I was determined I was going to make it last, you know, because it was so good. And by the time I got home, I had eaten all of the candy up. I had eaten all of it because I loved it so much. I wanted more and more and more, and I just kept shoving it in my mouth. M&Ms, candy bars. Of course, you got to eat the candy bar in the middle of summer. You know, it's going to melt in your pocket, so you rationalize. It was because I loved candy. And to this morning, what I want to do is continue on with this idea of passion. We have a holy God. And this morning with communion, I was thinking about, and the songs that we sang today, I mean, they were wonderful songs, all that Christ has done for us. We were lost in sin. We deserve to go to hell. And I know you've heard all this over and over, but there's a time when it dawns on us afresh. And we realize, oh my God, You do love me. You have saved me from an eternity of fire. And if I read the Bible right, where worms eat the flesh continually, but the flesh is never consumed. What a horrible, horrible, and I've read some accounts of hell. People that have been there and back. You know, we have Lazarus in Scripture. And He saved us from that. And then as we heard in communion service this morning, His covenant is to put His Spirit within us and His laws upon our hearts so that we are engaged. I love that word. How many of you hope to be engaged someday? Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. Engaged. Oh, my goodness, when I was engaged, I couldn't think about anything else except my beautiful bride, you know. And I grew up during the hippie movement when love and sex was... Is that funny? I don't get it. Anyhow, when I was taking a computer class the other day and we did something and I said in the classes, that is so like retro 1962 psychedelic. And everybody just looked at me and I realized nobody in the room was alive in 1962, you know, so as you get older... But I was so, in my mind, engaging in thoughts. And although I lived during that hippie era, God, and I didn't know the Lord like I know Him now, God had put it in my heart to keep our relationship sexually pure. But my mind was still engaged with, you know, a full expression of the love that we would share in marriage. It's a very, very exciting time. God wants us to be engaging with Him in such a way that He consumes our thoughts and our minds. Let's take a look at these few little slides here. But before we get there, I want us to look at a couple of my friends. Tommy Jablonski, he graduated from Oakland Christian School. He's so engaged in sports that he hurt his hip. But he plays now, he won a scholarship for baseball. And so now he's having surgery on his hip so he can keep playing baseball. My brother-in-law is a gymnast, a workout enthusiast, you know, so much so that he has damaged his body, needed surgery on his shoulder. I read an account of a conductor. He was so conducting this fantastic piece of music that he threw his arm out, you know, that he had to go to a doctor, you know, to get fixed. Have we been so engaged in God that we're willing to suffer? Our topic is passion. And as I looked at the definition of passion, it means to suffer. To love something so much that we suffer. Michelangelo, painting the Sistine Chapel, was on his back for hours and hours, painfully painting that ceiling. And are we willing for that? I want to look at one church this morning in the book of Revelation. It's the church of Laodicea. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 through 20, it says, I know your works. Does God know your works? He does. He knows what we do. He says that you are not cold and you are not hot. Now, he was talking to them. But the Word of God is everlasting. He recorded that there so that if we are not hot and if we are not cold, that when we read that, our own hearts will begin to be stirred. Lord, am I hot or am I cold? Or am I, what am I? I would, he says, that you were either hot or cold. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. It's kind of what he did with Jonah, isn't it? Kind of interesting. Very, very interesting, because at Laodicea, the water had to come from a long distance. And it was brought to them by an aqueduct that the Romans had built. And by the time the water got to Laodicea, it was lukewarm. Here they were living in a place with lukewarm water, and they became just like that, lukewarm toward the Lord. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Laodicea was a major banking area and a trade route. And do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They also produced the finest wool clothing. And he says, you think you have fine clothes, you're naked before me. You think you have eyes to see? Because they produced an eye salve in that area, medicine that went everywhere. He says, I pray that your eyes will be opened because you are blind. So many times in the Word of God, there are natural conditions that we live in. And we think we're okay with that. And yet there's a spiritual aspect to it that God wants to bring to our understanding. To some, he would say, you think you are so smart, but I want to give you wisdom. Is the person who played piano today during communion in here? Your playing is fantastic. It's not just notes. She does not just play notes. She plays according to the leading of the Spirit. And she moves. Oh yeah, you could analyze it and say her, you know, volume goes up and down, the tempo changes subtly, so that the message of the music is understood. Even though we can't read the music, we understand what the music is saying. You see? And so God would say to many, I want to breathe. You think you're talented? I want to breathe on your talent with my anointing so that you can minister in a spiritual realm. So God is looking not just at the outward. Let's take a look at these slides. We are driven by instinctive passions. Okay, next slide. There's a little baby reaching. Oh, feed me, change me, hold me. I can't believe college starts in only 18 years. Okay, next slide. Passions, very innate part of who we are. Look at those two twins down there. You know, I think the twin on the far right here at the bottom, this little guy, is saying, I love having the edge on others. Can anybody identify with that? You like just being a little bit better than others? By nature. Okay, next slide. There's my wife and my three grandbabies. We are empowered by what we love. This lady, my wife, can do incredible things that she's never been capable of doing because she is driven by this love. Now, which of these three babies, you know, is feeling a little bit left out, like, I want to be closer than the rest, right? This one. We have passions. We want to be closer. They want to be closer to Mimi. They call her Mimi. They call her grandmother. Now they're calling her granny, which is really kind of weird. But anyhow, there's a drive. And we want to recognize the drives that we currently have. Next slide. We love to win all the time. We're driven. We're driven. Okay, next slide. I don't know this person, honestly. Okay. All right, next slide. I'm a winner because I have more toys than others. I love my car. I love my new teeth. I love my new glasses. I'm passionate about my stuff. This guy is driven. His passion is materialism. Next. Now, what's this guy saying? What would he say? What's he saying? Is he screaming, "I have bad breath"? No. But he's passionate. Next slide. Do you think he's really saying that? No. There's passion in the picture. Next slide. She's screaming, "I love you, darling. You're so precious to me." I don't think so. He's saying, "I love you too." Next slide. Do you think she's really saying she broke a fingernail? I don't think so. Next slide. What are these guys saying? We don't know, but we do know one thing. They are passionately engaged in whatever's coming out of their mouth. It's coming from their heart, like we heard today in Ezekiel 31. Something is in their hearts and it's coming out powerfully. Next slide. I don't know what's going on there, but he has had it. He's fed up. Next. Now, what passion do you see here? Brotherly love. Very good. Next one. The scripture talks about the athlete, that he lays aside everything else and with all of his might, he trains. And he only wins if he plays lawfully. Next. These guys are part of a team. And they work hard together. Did they win or lose? They won. Okay, next slide. This guy, what's he saying? I won, exactly. Next guy. Next slide. He's saying, "I'm so glad my deodorant works." We don't know what he's saying. We just know he's really, really happy. "Don't I have nice white teeth? Look, no fillings." Okay, next slide. "I'm an old guy and I'm making it across the finish line." These guys are passionate. Next slide. He gives himself. Today on the way here, I must have passed about 8 incredibly, beautifully restored antique cars. I know those guys. They're passionate about building their cars. They think about their cars. They eat at restaurants where other car guys eat. Okay? I mean, we ate communion today. I mean, when they eat together, they are communing with car lovers. Okay? I mean, it's what it's all about. Next slide. Godly passion is magnetic. I want you to remember this. Whatever you love is a magnet. You are drawn to it. And we are called to love God, to be drawn to Him more than anything else. Next slide. Isn't it precious? These old folks have been together about 50 years, and look at how they're just still. Look, his eye is on her. She can't even open her eyes. She's so lost in hugging her old man there. She just loves him to death. All right? Next slide. All right, here we go. We are born. Hopefully we mature. And we aim. God gives us a will to make daily choices. We soar through life. The older I get, the more I realize it's going to be over soon. It happens faster than ever before. I remember being in the 9th grade thinking, 4 years till graduation. I don't know if I can stand this. Seemed like eternity. Then I graduated. It was like 4 years of college. And I already had my girlfriend, the one I married there, okay? And I knew I was going to marry her. And I'm thinking, 4 years. How am I going to wait 4 years? I didn't. I married her after 2, you know. But it's time flies the older you get. So we're born, we grow up, we aim, we soar through life, and then we enter eternity with the results of our aim. With the results of our passions. And this is why it is so critical. crucial today that you pick and prioritize your love, your passion, your aim in life. Okay, next slide. Thanks be to God. He always leads us in triumphantly in Christ. And through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of knowing Him. It doesn't matter today what kinds of things you have against you. And you all have something that goes against you today. You're born with it. There are weed seeds in every patch of dirt on the planet practically. In the middle of winter, if we bring them inside and put them in a pot, water it, put it in a window where it's going to get some light and the warmth from your furnace, it's going to grow weeds. Same way in our lives. But this verse says He always causes us to be victorious in Christ Jesus. We have no excuse for anything in our lives any longer that is of a sin nature. Because He came, He's faithful to forgive us and to take away and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God has called us. God calls us to a passion, to passionately love Him and to love others. Let's take a look at a couple of definitions for the word passion. Webster says that the original word meant to suffer. It is an extreme, compelling force in our lives that actually brings suffering to us. Many get saved because they want to get out of hell, and that's great. However, there's more. There's living with a purpose. We're not running away from something like hell. We're running toward a deeper relationship with the Lord. Passion, I see, is like a train. Nothing gets in its way. We've all seen a movie where there's a train on a track, maybe an old Western, you know, and it runs into something, a wooden building or tire or something, and parts and pieces just go everywhere. Nothing is going to get in the way of that train, you know. And that's what our passion is like. Yesterday I was at a party in Elginac. We're celebrating the 4th of July, and they have fireworks in the little towns along the water, St. Clair River there. And it was an Egyptian-Greek friend of mine. She cooks fabulously. And she brought in some of her friends where she used to live. And they're not Christians. They were Muslim. And this Muslim man is passionate about his religion. And he said, it was time. I don't remember what time it was, but it was time. It's probably 3 o'clock. It was time for him to pray. And he wanted to go to a high place to pray. So he was going upstairs, and he says, can you tell me, which direction is east? And I said, oh, yes, it's, wait a minute, where am I? Oh, it's that way. Actually, I told him it was that way. I told him the wrong direction. So the poor guy is upstairs in the bedroom praying, you know, like, what is that, southeast instead of east. But I didn't do it on purpose, but I realized later and I was kind of laughing. So anyhow, he's passionate. No matter what's going on, it's time to pray. He's going to pray. You know, I thought, how passionate should Christians be about prayer? 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. We've looked at that. Isaiah 54:17 says this. Because we're passionate, there's no weapon formed against us that will prosper. Nothing can come against us and prosper. The verse goes on, and it says that, and every tongue, anybody who says anything against us, rise up against us in judgment, he says, you shall condemn those words. This is the heritage of the saints of the Most High. Passion also lifts and carries us through times of trouble. You know, sometimes there are troubles, and you read about them in Scripture. There are men in the Bible who were so desperate that they asked God to take their lives. Jonah sat down and he just says, I should die. Elijah, you know, Lord, just take my life. Job said, oh, I wish I'd have never been born. But deep, deep down, there is a passion. Now, as a group of people, you are not jumping up and down out of your seats. When we sing, you're not clapping your hands. You know, you're not overly, in an overt way, extremely expressive. And yet, if your house was on fire, and you knew that your pet goldfish was sitting on the kitchen table, starting to get hot, because you love your fish, you'd run in that house and get your fish. You'd be bold. I read a quote this morning from a Scottish man during a time of great revival. And he said of the church in his day, he said, the church has become more of an aquarium. And the people have been aquarium keepers instead of fishers of men. He was rebuking them for their lack of enthusiasm and passion to see the lost saved. But passion lifts us up. David said, thou hast enlarged my steps under my feet, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again until they were consumed. David many times in Psalms says, I was overwhelmed. And then he says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Get lifted up. Be emboldened. I remember God meeting with me. And he moves forward in that. Passion moves toward a consuming goal as it gladly walks away from riches, reputation, and relationships. This is hard. This is not a fluffy, easy thing to hear. If you are running after God with all of your might, you might have to walk away from some things. You know. Personally, I have had to walk away from riches because God has given me an ability to use my time and turn it into money. And I've not chosen that. I had to walk away from that. Family relationships. I have a dear family member who has blatantly turned against the Lord. And I have gone after the person time and time again, and they've not responded. So I pray, and I give an occasional phone call. I've had to walk away from that and walk toward the goal, the things that God has for us. Passionate people often make mistakes like Peter, but Jesus is fine with that. I was thinking about communion today. We all took communion. A symbolic piece of bread and a little bit of grape juice, symbols of taking Jesus into us. The disciples did that. You know what they did right after that? They fell asleep in the garden. Right after, you know, feasting on the life of Christ. Short time later, not only did they fall asleep, but they all forsook Him. But there was Jesus in them. They could not get away from that. They could not get away from that. My mother had a dream when she was just a young girl. She was running down a main street in Detroit, and she was frozen and paralyzed in her running stance. And God spoke to her from behind and said, you can never run away from me. That dream stuck with her. She told me that, you know, as my mother, you know, many, many years later. And these guys, although they had been churched, we can say, by the best, Jesus Christ Himself, they fell asleep when He asked them to pray for an hour. They forsook Him a short time later because of peer group pressure. But Jesus was alive in them. And He broke through all of that so that their passion was manifested. Passion is proven by how we live and that we work out our faith by our works. Lukewarmness blurs everything around us so that we don't understand right and wrong any longer. God wants to change that in our lives. In the slide just before this one, could you go to that slide? You know, we're all headed toward the day when, you know, that dart hits the mark, it hits the target. And eternal judgment. You know, I was thinking, geez, these are such a nice, wonderful group of kids. I just love them. They respond to the word. Should I talk to them about the day that they're going to face eternal judgment? Is that nice to do? But it's truth, isn't it? I listened to Billy Graham a little bit on the way here. And you know, in his messages, he always reminds people that one day they will face eternal judgment. And it will be according to our passions. Our judgment, our eternal place of abiding, will be based on what we have loved. Will it be that which is good, or will it be that which is wrong? And so God puts His fingers on things in our lives. In the end, there's only going to be two groups. Revelation 22:10 says, you know, if there are people who want to be bad, let them continue. And if there are people who want to be good, let them continue. And then Jesus in Matthew 25 brings out very, very clearly that there will be the sheep and the goats. And that is it. There will be no more lukewarmness in the end. Eternal rewards will be according to our passions. And listen to Revelation chapter 3, and today was communion. This is so appropriate. Revelation 3:20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." This is to the Laodicean church. To the people who thought they had it all together. And I know, you know, by God's grace, we're not that people. We're humbled as we recognize our tremendous need this morning. You're going to camp to be revitalized and charged up so that you can face the pressures of this new school year that's coming. And we recognize our need this morning. But listen to what he says. He says, "I stand at the door and I knock. If anybody hears intently my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will have supper with him. I'll eat with him. We'll exchange life." How exciting is that? That's exciting to me. Every day, the greatest thing we can do as far as a daily passion. I don't want to talk to you about passion of someday. I want to talk to you about the passion of the moment. Because that is where it happens. I was driving to Lumberjack yesterday to pick up some parts. I was fixing my trailer for my son. So I picked up the parts, and as I'm checking out, I says, "I just know I'm forgetting something. I'll probably see you later." I got home, took the parts out. Sure enough, I remembered what I forgot. So I drove back, got in line, bought more of the parts. And on the way back, I felt like God said, because I was passing by a plumber, and I felt like the Lord said, "He didn't charge you for that one thing that you had him do for you for Oakland Christian School." And I thought, that's right. So I pulled into the plumber and I said, "You know, I don't think you charged me." He goes, "Oh, yeah, I think that was on a bill before." So I got back in my car and I started to drive away and I thought, he didn't charge me. So I went back and I said, "Remember the phone call, blah, 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 blah?" And he said, "Yes, I remember that." He says, and it was probably like a $20 job. He says, "Just give me $5. You know, I felt so good. Because my cheesy, slippery little Italian old nature, being a Sicilian that I am, would like to have gotten away without paying for that. Isn't that nice? Don't you like getting something for nothing? Oh, yeah. If I had candy today, would you like some free candy? Yeah, well, I don't have any, sorry. Anyhow, you know, it would have been fun. My old nature would have thought, oh, man, I got a deal here. I ripped him off, you know. It's not my fault. He didn't charge me. But the Holy Spirit knew. My passion for God in that moment was to turn my car around, drive back in there, and do what is right. Passion is proven by works, the littlest, simplest things. And you can walk out your faith and your passion. Listen to what Romans 8:14 said. It says this, "For as many as are led, as many as are the sons of God, they are the people who are led by the Spirit." Guess what? The sons of God get to eat with Him. They get to sup with Him. They get to have that fellowship. And Jesus said that out of our innermost being, that streams of living water would flow. There's not a better way to live and hit the mark than by having our hearts filled, our lives energized with a holy passion that can only come from God. How many of you want that? Raise your hand. You want that passion? Amen! There's no better way to live. Can you say amen? Amen! Amen. Yeah, we don't say amen a lot. You know, I mean, in everyday life, you walk through, you know, you sit in a class, your teacher gives you an assignment you're really excited about. How many of you jump up and say, amen! You don't do that. You know, your mom says, you know, she's having, what do you like to eat? Rice. Mom says, "We're having rice tonight." You go, "Amen." No, you don't say amen. You say, "Oh, good. Let's keep it real." Do you want to live with passion? You can say something like, "Yes." You know, keeping it real. In the moment, what is God going to speak to you today? Does He know where you are? Does He see you? Does He know you by name? Is it true that every hair of your head is numbered? that all of your parts, when they were being formed in the womb, He had all of them in continuance being formed, that He knows you intimately, then He is watching you today. And He wants to speak to you today. He wants to touch your conscience today. And He wants to give you the power to respond today. Amen. I believe that. We have a song now, and then... Okay.